This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 28th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. This week is the biggest week for corporate earnings reports this quarter. Yesterday, we heard from a bunch of big tech companies, and today we're bringing on our tech columnist Dan Gallagher to break down the results and what they tell us about how tech has fared during the pandemic. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Ant Group is planning to turn itself into a financial holding company. Ant is the Chinese tech giant that owns the widely used payments platform Alipay, which has over 1 billion users in China. The restructuring would subject Ant to oversight by China's central bank and more stringent capital requirements. The news comes after pressure from Chinese regulators, and it represents a significant turnaround for Ant. The company's been working to position itself as an internet tech company, something that's helped it command lofty valuations. The restructuring plan is still under deliberation, but it could be finalized by mid-February, according to people familiar with the matter. A spokesman for Ant declined to comment. Chinese regulators also didn't comment. We've been following volatility in shares of the video game retailer GameStop after Reddit users pushed the stock to new heights. Shares closed above $347 yesterday, up another 135% from the day before. Meanwhile, the social media-driven frenzy has also led to spikes in shares of other throwback stocks, like BlackBerry and the holding company that's helping liquidate Blockbuster. The frenetic trading in recent days has even led to delays and outages at several online brokerages, including Fidelity, E-Trade, and Vanguard. By the way, we did a deep dive on what's driving the interest in GameStop in yesterday's show, so be sure to check that episode out next. All right, coming up after the break, yesterday was a big earnings day for tech companies. We'll break down the results next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
We got a raft of big tech earnings yesterday. Tesla, Apple, and Facebook all reported their results for the final quarter of 2020. Apple and Facebook topped already high expectations for the holiday quarter, while Tesla's results were a little more mixed. These quarterly reports are always a chance to take a look under the hood of big companies, and this moment in particular can give us some insight into how they've fared during the pandemic, which has changed consumer behavior and brought myriad challenges for the tech industry. Here to help us break down the results is our tech columnist, Dan Gallagher. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
So before we get into the nitty gritty, what were the kind of trends and challenges that defined 2020 for these companies and this past quarter in particular? And why are these results so significant?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, when people are without jobs and see that drop in income, that you think that would take down the market for these kind of companies. And what we're seeing, though, is with these really big tech companies, their scale actually helps them do better in these times, you know, because they have so much market. And then they're also selling, especially Apple is selling things that people need, in some cases need even more so. We saw a big explosion of iPad sales, for instance, and that's, you know, more students who are stuck at home doing online learning, or people stuck at home doing work, is actually driving sales of things like PCs and tablets that weren't particularly growing a lot before the pandemic. I think some of the changes we're seeing in consumer behavior are kind of temporary because of this moment. And then some, you know, and then some may be longer lasting. You know, I think people are going to probably be working from home more than they did before, especially over the next couple of years. They'll still need, you know, equipment and services geared to that. This latest batch of reports brings two in particular that are very interesting against the backdrop of this, you know, pandemic that's been so crippling economically and hit so many jobs and incomes. Apple and Tesla sell very expensive things, you know, kind of at the top of their, you know, Tesla is probably among the more expensive cars you can buy, you know, relative to the class of cars it competes with. You know, iPhones, Macs, all these devices are among the most expensive in their class. And both companies reported a really good December quarter, and Tesla swung into profitability. Apple had this, it was record quarter for Apple. Their sales passed $100 billion for the first time ever, blew past Wall Street's estimates. iPhone sales are really strong. Profits were a record as well. And so it really contrasts sharply with what is actually a pretty dreary period for the entire global economy.
And of course, the other big issue we saw was supply chain disruptions, especially early on. Is that still at play here?
Well, sure. We saw that especially early on with Apple because they make all their stuff in China. So that's where the pandemic started. And so early 2020, you know, they saw factories close down. They saw a big hit to their production. But obviously in China, things recovered before they have here. So they've been able to get that back going. They've essentially just smoothed it out. I mean, a lot of the hits they saw that way were temporary. You know, we've seen other issues where, you know, there is a shortage of things like chips that are used in cars and other factors. And that's really affected pretty much companies across the board. So it's actually creates an interesting question. This latest batch of reports maybe even could have been even better had we not had those component shortages.
Yeah, and that's a good point for us to dive into the results themselves. And I want to start with Tesla. You know, early in the pandemic, Tesla CEO Elon Musk differentiated his company from other tech companies, you know, where you can make software remotely. You got to have factories open in order to make and deliver electric vehicles. But despite that challenge, you know, Tesla ended up having a pretty great year. So what did we see from them this year and in these results as well?
Yeah, we saw, you know, they delivered nearly 500,000 vehicles in 2020, and they're actually thinking they can now increase that by about 50% in the coming year. And again, we saw it was their first year, I think, of actually reporting profits. And this is a company where the stock has been doing phenomenally. You know, investors are kind of, you know, have been cheering the company on even when it has, you know, challenges with its business or, you know, spends a lot more. But I think this was a quarter in which this particular quarter is probably going to help those that have been like betting big on Tesla on Wall Street.
Got it. So the first full year of profit, but still a lot of costs associated with those supply chain issues that we talked about earlier, which weighed things down a little. You know, speaking of supply chain issues, Apple was also hit with some similar problems, which ended up delaying the release of its new lineup of iPhones. That included its first 5G capable phone. Did that affect their results?
It affected it, but you almost wouldn't know it by looking at what they've reported, you know, this record period. You know, the iPhones launched about a month later than they normally did, kind of broken apart. Their big selling point was 5G, and 5G has been something that, you know, quite honestly, you know, the services are kind of hard to find still. But they made these phones very attractive in their own right, a new design, powerful cameras. And so they did really well in that. We don't know. Apple doesn't say how many they sold anymore. They don't give unit sales anymore. But the iPhone business had its best period of revenue growth in more than 2 years and registered, you know, record revenue for that particular business. So it did really well, even with the kind of later launch that we saw.
And of course, you know, Apple offers a ton of other products and services, and they've actually been pushing into services even more recently. How did that part of its business do?
It did very well. Services actually accelerated. You know, the growth was above 20% in this last quarter, and it had been kind of skating along mid-teens, you know, for the last several. And that's something that they've been putting a lot into that. You know, they now have, you know, a streaming TV service. They have a fitness type service that would compete with companies like Peloton a little bit. And they're putting more into music and games. And for them, this is important because it not only, you know, it not only kind of spreads out their business diversity and they're not relying so much on hardware sales, but services carry much higher profit margins. And we saw that this was the highest profit margins they've reported in more than 5 years that they reported for the December quarter.
So clearly paying off for them. And just finally, we also heard from Facebook yesterday. And unlike these other companies, Facebook's products are completely digital. Social media, advertising. It seems like that would be a benefit as remote communications really became our only way of communicating in the past year.
It was, and it was a good period for them too. They continued to add users. Their ad revenue, you know, exceeded their growth there, exceeded Wall Street's expectations. If Facebook, you know, they're always a bit cautious when they look ahead. You know, they're warning about things like some of these changes Apple is putting into its operating system that might make it harder to track, you know, to do ad tracking for users. And they've been talking about that for a while. But the business, even with all the problems Facebook has had in terms of its public image, privacy, politics, this is essentially an advertising machine that continues to just print money every quarter.
Yeah, you mentioned those challenges, and there have been some pretty big ones for Facebook, especially on the regulatory front. What have they been facing, and what kind of impact has that had?
Well, I mean, they're facing, you know, like some of the other big tech companies, they're facing serious questions about the power they have as a platform and whether they have too much and whether they're too big. I think they're probably at the forefront. Them and Google are facing actual like lawsuits and pressure. There's people in the government that think Facebook should break up, that they should no longer own Instagram or WhatsApp, that's made them too powerful. We don't know how that's all going to play out, obviously. I mean, and the company will fight that very hard. So it's hard to know how that'll end up. But I think they have, especially this coming year, now that we're kind of past the election into a new administration, I think they'll probably see a lot more challenges in that sense. I think 2021 for Facebook is going to be very challenging in that sense. I don't know if it'll start registering to the actual business, to the advertising revenues they generate and usage and all that, but it's definitely going to create even more of those kind of headline challenges that we've seen.
Got it. And so just taking a step back here, at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about what a wild year this has been because of the pandemic for tech. Taken together, what do all these results tell us about how tech fared and what challenges lay ahead?
Well, I think the strong results actually make their challenges maybe a little even more harsh, because what we're seeing is that even in the midst of something that's been a pandemic that's been so crippling, is that these big companies do really, really well. If they're going to make an argument that, no, we're not so powerful as you say we are, every quarter we get this reminder that, no, they're actually very, very strong, very powerful, can grow their business when so many others can't, can make record profits when others can't. So I think in a way, the strong financial results will really please investors, but it also makes the company's jobs harder to convince, you know, regulators and lawmakers that they're not the threat they are deemed to be right now. I think that conversation is going to really pick up in the coming year.
All right. That's our tech columnist, Dan Gallagher. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.